Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Yelp has succeeded because of its different approach to its very local market. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is May 31st, 2013, the last day of the month. I know we're all sad that the month is coming to an end, but don't worry. We've got a new edition coming out in June, right, Catherine?
That's right. It should be very good.
Whew, I was worried there for a moment. So glad to hear that, but I'm glad everybody's back for today, our final day of our three-day trends article. Yelp continues on its path of success. You can find it on pages 42, 43, and 44 in your Advanced magazine. And I had said at the top of the program that Yelp has found success because of its very local market. And what I mean by that is their approach to their market has been contrary, which we talked about yesterday, contrary to some of the giants in the internet industry. And how and why contrary, Josh?
Well, they don't have sales forces for most of these companies. You want to advertise on Google, you go to google.com, find their advertising software solution, and do it yourself. But Yelp decided to follow in the footsteps of the Yellow Pages and actually take the message out to customers face-to-face.
Yeah. All right. So Josh Mooney's back here for day three of our article. Catherine Huff is also back. We talked about their approach being contrary to Salesforce, but also we learned yesterday that Yelp was accused of something else.
That's right. They were accused of having less than desirable sales tactics. That they charge too much, possibly.
Yeah, they charge too much. And yes, Catherine, you did talk about that from the timeline that we had also mentioned yesterday, that there were some negative press regarding the tactics of their sales force. So I have a special guest. We all have a special guest joining us for day three here, Naomi Beeshabel.
Well, Bill, maybe not everyone likes Yelp, but I do. I think it's a really interesting website. And so when I realized you were on day three, I couldn't resist sneaking into the studio to join you.
Yeah. When did you do that? We must have stepped out. The next thing, you were here. So, no, I'm glad you're here, Naomi, because I figured that you did use Yelp and were very very knowledgeable about this.
Well, as I'm sure you've discussed already, Yelp isn't everywhere yet. They're sort of slowly taking over various cities throughout the world and offering different reviews. But it is growing, and I'm curious to see what countries it'll come to next.
Yeah. Of course, they're in America, but also in most of Europe. And then also, I believe, they've expanded to Australia.
Mm-hmm. Singapore.
Yeah, Singapore? Really? Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and we had talked throughout the first couple of days, it would be great here, like in a place like Taipei or even in Shanghai, to have a service like Yelp.
Absolutely. And I think we do see a lot of blogs and a lot of even Facebook comments referring to various restaurants and various clubs or just different places you can visit. But few of them are as organized and helpful as Yelp is.
Yeah. Okay. And we did talk about some of these websites, I think in the last month or two, that maybe you can go to and find things out specifically like TripAdvisor. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them are more specific, industry specific, right?
That's true. And Yelp has a very, very broad range of services and facilities that it covers. And I think today's portion of this article is very, very intriguing because it's talking about sort of the difficulty of reading a review online and knowing what to make of it.
Yeah, there is a certain technique, not just to writing a review, but reading these reviews and trying to, we might even say, read between the lines of reviews. What do I mean, read between the lines, Josh?
Well, what does the person really mean? Yeah. Are they alluding to something? Was there something specific? Do they have a motivation in terms of building up a company or tearing it down?
Josh said alluding to something. What did he mean by that?
He means that he's referring to something. So mm-hmm. Referring to something that happened.
Yeah. And I believe on day one we had talked about, does this person have a vested interest mm-hmm. in this? And what do we mean by that?
If you have a vested interest, well, there's a good chance you might, for instance, be the owner of this company because you are looking to make right. money. You have some interest other than just sharing about something with other people out of the goodness of your heart.
Yeah. And so when I go to sites and see reviews, I have to be, you know, kind of skeptical of the ones, the extremely negative ones and the extremely positive ones. I've got to wonder what is going on. And actually, we'll talk a little bit more about that today. So everybody turn to page 44 in your Advanced magazine. And our first reading will be that left column.
A rare genius. Yelp's sales force would be meaningless if the reviews weren't useful. Yelp initially limited critiques to a few hundred characters, but every month or so, Stoppelman would double the limit to try to keep up with the user's critical enthusiasm. Today, reviews max out at 5,001 characters and often include a comical level of detail. Yelp reviews may be plagued with frequent misspellings, overexuberance, and curious digressions, but they are generally accurate. The company's genius is in taking these idiosyncratic assessments and making sense of them. Yelp's review algorithm gives each establishment an average star ranking and filters out shills and less experienced critics. Typically, the pushback about Yelp is, "What does some college kid know about restaurants?" says Michael Luca, an economist at Harvard Business School. People tend to assume that crowdsourced information is so erratic that it's impossible to extract meaningful signals from it. But that's not true.
Okay, yesterday we did talk about some of the techniques that Yelp has used, and one of them that is contrary to the industry, the internet industry, is Yelp's use of a sales force. People going around, knocking on doors, advertising, selling advertising space, much like Yellow Pages salespeople used to do years ago and still do today. So we talk a little bit about this today, about their sales force in this section titled A Rare Genius.
Yes. What we're saying here is that the sales force that we've been discussing already, there wouldn't be any point to it if the site wasn't worth visiting. Basically, you have to have something worth selling if you're going to have a sales force.
Yeah. And so it's something that, well, one, he's got to pay these people. I imagine most of them do work on a commission. They might have a small base salary, but that gets into some of the ideas of why they might be so aggressive. So, but all right, we find out that it is important that that people go to this website.
Right, because if I say, oh, I have this personal blog, would you like to take out an ad on my blog? People are going, why would I? What would appeal to me about advertising in this little space? There has to be a big draw. There has to be a good reason for people to come to this site. And in other words, the reviews that are on this site have to be worth reading.
Speaking of those reviews, we learn a little bit about some of them.
That's right. They were initially limited there to only a few hundred characters. So you think of Twitter is a little short message service that limits you to 140 characters. Initially on Yelp, you didn't get to use much more than that. So only a short little synopsis of your experience with a business.
We use the word critiques there in place of reviews. Same thing. A person offers their opinion on – that's not much.
No.
A few hundred characters is not much. Yeah. So it's difficult. You better be a good wordsmith to say what you want in a few hundred characters. But every month or so.
It says Stoppelman would double the limit to try to keep up with the user's critical enthusiasm. So it sounds like these critiquers wanted to write so much, whether it's good or bad, that Yelp had to give them more space, more room to elaborate.
Right. The critics are very poetic. They have a lot to say. Mm-hmm. And so a few hundred characters was too limited for their critiques. These critics want to just share more and more about their feelings and experiences.
Well, in fact, and by opening this up then, that will attract even more participation because then people have this thing about wanting to express themselves. Everybody's got opinions. Well, I think. And then they just go.
And it's the minutiae that frustrates me sometimes. I think I would like a shorter review than people who told me to describe every texture and taste of everything they ate over a two-hour dinner. It's a little much for me. I'd like to get in, look at the star rating, and then see something succinct, something short and to the point. Did you like it or not?
Well, Josh, I think a lot of us would agree with you, but that brings us right into the next paragraph, which says that even though now reviews, they actually max out at 5,001 characters.
Wow.
So there is a limit on there, but there's so much detail included.
5,001 characters, and that is a lot. So I'm not sure how many words that would translate into, but I believe it would be even more than our three-day advanced article here we're reading.
Probably.
Yeah.
But when we say that it maxes out, it means that's the limit. That's the top you can reach.
Right. Now, Josh mentioned minutiae, meaning detail, extreme small details. And actually, we talk about this. These reviews often include a comical level of detail.
Well, I think that means that people are writing so much about this that it's becoming funny more than informative. Sometimes when I'm reading, I'm like, why are you telling me all this? I mean, there's no point to all of
more
that.
More information than we necessarily need.
It's amusing.
Yeah. Actually, we also see here Yelp reviews may be plagued.
Well, with frequent misspellings, meaning these people aren't reviewing their grammar. They're not checking their, I guess it doesn't have spell check, which is what we're all relying on usually when we're
spelling things
on the internet.
Or people are ignoring it.
Right.
Yeah.
And then over-exuberance. And I think we talked about this a few times throughout this article, that there is immense passion about several places, and they are extremely excited one way or the other about an establishment.
Now, it says that it's plagued with all these things. The reviews are plagued with them. So if something is a plague, it's like almost an illness. It's like this bad thing that's bothering you. So it seems like almost a little bit of a disease running through these reviews, that there's grammar issues, they're too excited. And the last one here is curious digressions.
Yeah, I like that. Curious digressions.
Well, if something is a digression, it means that it moves away from what it was first talking about. So if someone is talking about a restaurant, they may start out talking about the food, but then all of a sudden go off and talk about the drinks or the wait staff or the condition of the bathroom or something.
Or they might even talk about the owner's cat that is strolling around the restaurant.
Exactly.
Has nothing to do with food.
Or they start talking about the conversation they had over dinner, and you're like, what does that have to do with my potential experience of this restaurant?
Do we ever have curious digressions here on Advanced Studio Classroom, Bill?
It is all the time. All the time. That's what makes it so interesting. But generally, our shows are accurate.
Well, and there you go. That sort of brings us back to the main point here. But they are generally accurate. Despite all these little funny things that come up, they are still true.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So look beyond maybe the flaws, the small things, and look at the bigger work and say, okay, is this helpful? Yes.
Good advice for life, too.
There you go. Now, the company's genius
is in taking these idiosyncratic assessments and making sense of them. So if something is idiosyncratic, it's strange or unusual, a little bit different, a little odd. So some of these reviews can be very, very different.
Okay, so when we say company's genius, we're not talking about an individual here, but we're talking about the methodology, right?
Right. The way that they operate, the way that they do things is so brilliant because it looks at these messy reviews and still comes out with something very logical.
Yeah. Okay. Makes sense of them. And we did talk, I believe, the first day, talking about this star rating and one star, five stars in between, and some kind of average, and we get into that in this next sentence.
That's right. The way a computer kind of synthesizes or processes all this data is speaking about its algorithm. and the way it takes in one-star reviews and five-star reviews and the middle road reviews that we talked about, and then comes up with an average star ranking, that process of working through all that math is called an algorithm.
Okay, so it does come up with an average star ranking. To give you a general idea, all right, do most people like this place or not like this place? And it also does what, Naomi?
It filters out shills and less experienced critics. And to me, this is really exciting, actually, because this is one of the issues we've talked about in the past when we discuss these types of review sites. How do you know when to trust someone on these sites? And we give one example here. A shill would be someone that's actually maybe hired by the company to write a positive review. And sometimes if your language ability is very high and you have a very skeptical way of reading something, sometimes you can tell, oh, this person sounds a little fake.
Yeah. If there's too many adjectives in a writing describing something as great, fantastic, fabulous,
right.
I'm wondering.
Well, and I've seen this on like maybe TripAdvisor or more likely on companies' actual websites. That you'll see a list of several reviews and you see some of their language start to repeat each other. You know, this hotel is so excellent. And then the next one's this excellent hotel. And you're kind of like, okay, yeah. I wonder if maybe the company wrote these.
Yeah. Okay.
And it says that it also filters out less experienced critics. And this is one of my kind of pet peeves about Yelp, is that it does seem to be mostly people that Yelp about everything. And Catherine, you said you have a friend that literally reviews every place she goes.
Yeah,
and
that's
true. I'm not sure I really want to read the reviews of people who feel almost like this is their platform for sharing everything about their life.
Yeah. A lot of times I think that we lend more credibility. We believe critics more when they have actual experience with something. And so like with my friend, she's not an expert on nail salons or restaurants or shopping malls. And so that's why sometimes they need to be filtered out.
Although I did just hear on the news that there is a company that's offering special ID cards to people who review things online. You don't have to be a professional.
Oh, wow.
And that way you can flash the card when you walk into the restaurant to sort of warn them that you're going to review them, which I think also it makes it lose credibility. It makes it a little less realistic because maybe the restaurant manager says, oh, we better impress this person.
It alters the experience. Right. They might offer up a free dish or something or two. To sway that person's opinion. Mm-hmm. Well, in fact, talking about this less experienced critics thing, we actually get into that in the next paragraph.
That's right. We hear from Michael Luca, an economist at Harvard, and he says, typically the pushback about Yelp is, what does some college kid know about restaurants?
Mm. All right. So what he's saying is here is, you know, how would a teenager or a 20-year-old person know enough about restaurants to say, this is good, this is not good. That's the question.
When we talk about the pushback here, we sort of mean the reaction. Like people read this and go, wait a second, why do I trust this 21-year-old kid?
Yeah, yeah. Somebody say, oh, wait, yeah, I'm questioning this. So, all right. And Michael Luca continues in line 20.
He says that people tend to assume that crowdsourced information, meaning information that comes from a large group of everyday people, is so erratic that it's impossible to extract meaningful signals from it, but that's not true.
Erratic.
All over the place. Hard to pin down.
Okay. Impossible to extract meaningful signals from it.
Right. If you extract something, actually I think of a dentist pulling out a tooth, but basically you're pulling something big out of kind of a mess of other things.
Yeah. All right. We started this paragraph by saying typically that's the pushback about Yelp. Finish the paragraph with Michael Luca saying, but that's not true, and we'll find out why in the next reading.
Proving the point. Luca has the data to prove it. In a recent study, he compared Yelp ratings of restaurants in Washington State with actual sales figures reported to the state's Department of Revenue. He found that a one-star improvement in a business's Yelp rating was associated with, on average, a revenue increase between 5% and 9%. Stoppelman points out an interesting wrinkle in the study. Whereas independent restaurants received an outsized benefit from good Yelp reviews, chain restaurants appear to be unaffected by their reviews, either good or bad. That's something we theorized about early on, Stoppelman says. We thought that the main reason somebody ends up at Starbucks is that they don't want to deal with the possibility that the independent coffee shop isn't any good. But with Yelp, you have that confidence.
All right, Bill Quinn here with Naomi Bees. Hey, well, Josh Mooney and Catherine Huff, we're on our last section of our three-day trends article. Yelp continues on its path of success. And we left off our previous reading, hearing from Michael Luca, an economist at Harvard Business School, talking about some of the scrutiny, some of the questions, the pushback about Yelp. And are these reviews relevant? Well, Michael Luca does have some data, and he's proving his point.
Right, and his point is that this is useful information, even though people might think it's from too many sources, it's not trustworthy. He disagrees, and he actually has some information because he did a study on this topic.
All right, what did that study do?
Well, it's very interesting. It says that they compared Yelp ratings of restaurants in a certain region, in this case the state of Washington, with the sales figures reported by those restaurants. So we're going to have the real hard data here. Does good review mean good sales?
So interesting to me. Here this guy is at Harvard, and he picks the state of Washington to study these reviews. And it's good because it's good for people to get samples from all over. Don't just go to New York or Los Angeles. But he actually picks an area that many people would consider average, normal, you know, American population, which is going to be for most of these local users and consumers.
And I think it's also interesting that it's a place with a lot of visitors, a lot of people who maybe didn't grow up there, a lot of people who are there either for business or for just to sightsee. And so for these people, they're less likely to have heard about a place from their aunt, you know, or walked past a place 100 times. And so they're people who are also more likely to use Yelp in general.
Okay. What did he find?
Well, he found that a one-star improvement in a business's rating on Yelp was usually associated with a revenue increase for the business that was between 5 and 9%. So he found that sometimes the ratings do increase businesses' revenues.
Okay. And associated with, meaning just connected. So there is a connection with this improvement in ratings. So we talked about the star system, 1 star to 5 stars, and even 1-star improvement can mean a big difference for a business. Revenue increase between 5% and 9%, that could be the difference, survival or failure, right?
Oh, sure. Restaurant margins are very small. I know we're not just talking about restaurants here, but yeah, service businesses in general, a 9% increase in revenue would be a huge improvement.
Okay, that study was conducted by Michael Luca there at Harvard, but now in this next paragraph then, we go back to CEO Jeremy Stoppelman.
Right, and he points out an interesting wrinkle in the study. So a wrinkle here, it gives me the idea that it's something a little bit out of place, a little bit different, a sort of quirk to the study. It says, whereas independent restaurants definitely benefit from the reviews, that's less true for the big chains.
Okay. So obviously it's his business. He's going to look at this thing. He's going to dissect it, much like we heard about the guy in the first day dissecting the phone. Jeremy Stoppelman is going to dissect this study and say, what's interesting about it? And we talk about these outsized benefit for the independent restaurants.
That's right. And an outsized benefit is anything that is much larger than usual. So these independent restaurants really, really benefit from the good Yelp reviews.
Okay. The independent one, chain restaurants.
Yes. Things that you see everywhere, national brands like McDonald's or TGI Fridays, they don't seem to be affected at all by reviews. And I think we talked about this in the first day. You don't think of needing to review a place that you think every one of your friends has already been to, like IKEA or McDonald's.
Yeah.
But you want to tell them about that coffee shop that you don't think they've ever heard of.
Right.
Right. I think this is one of the most fascinating things about the whole article, the whole idea of this company. And Stoppelman talks about that in the final paragraph.
Okay. What does he say?
Well, he says that's something we theorized about early on. When you theorize about something is you come up with hypotheses, ideas that might be true, but you're not sure if they are true. You need to test them.
Yeah. Okay. They thought about it. Michael Luca's data backs up some of these theories that they had. Stoppelman continues in line 19.
He says that they thought the main reason someone goes to Starbucks is they don't want to deal with the possibility an independent coffee shop isn't any good. But he says with Yelp, you can go to the independent coffee shop. You have the confidence.
Yeah, you had talked about that yourself, mm-hmm. Catherine, about that coffee shop in Boston.
Exactly. I mean, when I'm spending money, I want to make sure I'm spending it on something good. And with Starbucks, it's a safe bet. But with Yelp, I was able to find somewhere else where I could spend my money and get something good out of it, find some good coffee.
Right. We've all tried some little restaurant on the side of the street that you've never been to before. You thought, oh, this looks kind of interesting. You try it out and you walk away thinking, why did I spend my money there? But on the flip side, sometimes we stumble upon those little spots and they're wonderful. And you think, why didn't I know about this before? And so Yelp is basically trying to eliminate the chance here and give you a sure bet.
Yeah. And with Yelp, we see here at the end, you have that confidence. So that that unknown door, that shop that you're not quite sure about, you can walk in and you can have the confidence that you'll be happy. Right, Josh?
That's right. I think it's helping small business owners of all shapes and sizes get the awareness and exposure they need.
Yeah. You're funny. It's funny you talk about that stumble into a place because I've done that too. And I've been around places for years and then I do stumble into a place and I'm like, why didn't I go in here 3 years ago?
Right. And I think it also raises the standards for businesses because they don't have any excuses to sort of say, well, we got this one-time customer. We were good enough for him. They need to have that level of quality that will impress everyone.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Listeners, I hope this has been very interesting and helpful for you. And if you do visit sites where there is Yelp reference points and reviews, definitely use it. It will help you to find those really special places in the cities that you are visiting. So, and also, we'd like to hear back from you and just let us know what your experience is. How can they do that, Naomi?
Well, you can find us on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you there or on our website at studioclassroom.com.
Okay. Everybody, thanks for joining us, not just for this article, but also for this month. It's been a great one. The month of May, come on back next time for June. Till then, this is Bill,
Catherine,
Naomi,
and Josh
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.